Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. From the University of Campinas in Brazil, a high-fiber diet can play a very important role in controlling the inflammation associated with COVID-19. That's good news. That was published in the peer-reviewed journal Gut Microbes. We're also going to talk today about how glycine, G-L-Y-C-I-N-E, and NAC and acetylcysteine together improves multiple defects in aging to boost strength and cognition over the age of 40. Baylor School of Medicine published in the Journal of Clinical and Translational Medicine. We're also going to talk today about how there's an association between ultra-processed foods, that's the average American diet, and drinks, and colorectal cancer risk. Barcelona Institute for Global Health in Spain. This is just a little bit of what we're going to talk about, including something how we can live a longer life. Literally, everyone in this audience. So we have a lot to share that empowers, enlivens, and reduces the risk of premature death. But also today, I promise to continue giving you insights about COVID from people who are highly qualified, pro-vaccine, mainstream medicine individuals, and they're challenging different aspects of the official COVID narrative, including a reporter. And I'm going to have her share her insights based on a leaked audio tape that has a group of Pfizer executives talking about how this is great news, the pandemic. And the pandemic is good, but now what is going to be even more profitable, hooray, hooray, for the vaccine makers, is it's going to go forever. What does that mean? It means that we're going to find very shortly that, well, now we've got the pandemic under control, but remember, it can come back, and we don't want it to come back, and you've got to get vaccinated, and you've got to wear masks, and you've got to social distance. And for people will also have to, those who are vulnerable, have to stay quarantined, etc. Well, then nothing returns to normal. Yeah, profits, big time. But the woman says something in this clip. Two things. So here's what I like to do. Has anyone in this audience been cured of cancer using mine or any other natural protocol? If you have, I'd like to hear from you. In about a half hour, 888-874-4888 is that call in number, 888-874-4888. If you've been cured of cancer, and that means at least 5 years after taking the protocol, you no longer have any cancer in your body. All right, I'd like to hear from you, and you'll see why that's important. And I'm going to address that we have no cure for cancer and we have no cure for AIDS, that this woman says with absolute confidence. Also, Mr. Scarborough over on, I think he's on MSNBC, I don't watch these programs, he really attacks, I mean with total vitriol, attacks anyone who questions the safety or efficacy of the vaccine, especially a person who may have an autoimmune condition, and therefore the vaccine would be counterproductive. A person who's completely healthy and has no, and maybe has even contracted or has positive antibodies, which means they're naturally immunized. And therefore, as we've seen from experts, there's no reason to vaccinate these people. It's redundant. So in any case, we're going to hear about that. It's about a 2.5 minute screed, and I mean it's really vulgar, not in the use of foul language, but it's vulgar in the sense that he does not allow a single dissenter to be considered legitimate. But what if you're a mother and two of your three children who were vaccinated for different things over the years ended up with autism, and you were told it had nothing to do with the vaccines, but your whole life has changed because you have to take care of these kids with autism for the rest of your life and theirs. And so she's reluctant to want a child who is not vulnerable at all for COVID or babies to take another experimental vaccine. But she's been told now that she's a bad person if she does this. We're going to respond to that in what will probably be the most comprehensive commentary I've done on the subject of the safety and efficacy of vaccines. My information is not from emotion or even personal experience. It's from the peer review science. So that's our program today. We begin with the idea that we should have a high-fiber diet. One of the very first national debates that I did in my career, way back in, I believe it was around 1972, was on the subject of fiber. I was told by one of the top people at the AMA, where I debated him on ABC in Chicago, that fiber was good for cattle and, you know, horses, but, you know, Americans got all they needed. At that time, the average American had no more than 5 grams of fiber a day because our diet was mainly a processed diet based upon the basic 4 food group, which itself was a complete dietetic fraud. There was nothing in the charts given in schools or to home economics teachers. Remember, it was the home economic teacher who was the one that you went to if you wanted to find out, how do I feed my family so they're healthy? Well, you got to give them meat 3 times a day, and you got to give them dairy, and you got to give them, you know, white flour products, sugar, and white bread. Okay, good. And people trusted. They were obedient. They weren't scientists. They weren't home economic teachers or even a dietitian. But it was all fraud. It was all anti-science. And as a result, that basic 4 food group was put together by the industries that profited from it, the meat, the dairy, the refined confection industries, the chicken lobby, they all were part of that. We want to thank the late Senator McGovern because he held hearings to show that they were a fraud. In fact, one of the top people in his office who was part of those hearings called me and said, we won and we lost. I said, how do we win? Well, all the evidence from our side showed that all the evidence from their side was wrong. It was all political and economic. But we lost because the other members of the committee and way up to the White House, they're going along with the people that, you know, the lobbyists that put money into their campaigns. So we lost. And that's when I began to challenge these major industries and sought out them to debate. And all across the country, I was having national debates on television and radio. Bob Kane on NBC Net Radio Network, I debated Dr. Elizabeth Whalen from Harvard, and on the dangers of sugar. Now, if you go back and look at all the science, we're right. They're wrong, yet they still have power, and they can get any media attention they want. So understand something. You need fiber. And you need a lot of it from a variety of sources. Grains, nuts and seeds, legumes, vegetables and fruits. They all provide good fiber. What doesn't provide fiber? Meat and dairy and chickens and pork and lamb and fish. So, and there's very little fiber in processed foods and certainly no nutrition. So the more of that that we eat, the more quality fiber that we eat, the less our inflammatory responses in our gut. Now, if you take some cabbage juice, a glass of cabbage juice twice a day, unsalted, that will help tremendously to rid your body of H. pylori, Helicobacter, the bacterium that can lead to cancer of the stomach and all forms of problems in your gut. So turn off inflammation. Fennel. Just take a quarter teaspoon of fennel seeds and chew them after a meal. Now, people in India do this all the time, and that helps them with all the spicy foods that they consume. Cabbage juice is the big healer, though. Anise also turns off. So you got fennel, anise, mint, cinnamon will all turn down inflammatory responses. But you get up around 40 grams of fiber a day, you're going to have a much healthier intestine, and that's important, and less problems otherwise. Now, from Baylor School of Medicine comes a research on 2 nutrients, glycine and N-acetylcysteine. And what they found, and this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Clinical and Translational Medicine, that as you age, If you were to take this for 24 weeks, a little over half a year, you would see improvements in many characteristics of aging, including glutathione deficiency, oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, insulin resistance, endothelial dysfunction, body fat, genomic toxicity, muscle strength, gait speed, exercise capacity, and cognitive function. All those would improve. How about that? The benefits declined after stopping supplements for 12 weeks. So what I would suggest is you do it for such period of time as maybe 3 months on and 1 month off. 2 months on, 1 month off. 2 months on, 1 month off. So easy to do and improve. And by the way, just mitochondrial dysfunction is big because what do you think causes all the processes in your body? Every single cellular process has to have some mitochondria inside the cell. Now, there's a few to hundreds of mitochondria depending upon the cell. The brains, the heart, the muscles have the most. So you want that energy. You want to have the energy to think and the energy for your heart to beat and your muscles to produce the ability to go forward. So this can improve all that. That's terrific. Also, a study out of Barcelona Institute for Global Health found that the more processed foods you consume, the more drinks you have, the greater your risk of colorectal cancer. This audience knows that already, but remember, we're getting a new audience every day from around the world, and thank you for coming on board, and most importantly, for downloading and sharing articles, documentaries, and information. This article was published in Clinical Nutrition. So think, what is an ultra-processed food? Rice, white sugar, white flour products, and those products made from that white, like you'd make a pretzel from that, potato chips, French fries, pastas. That's an ultra-processed food. It's you're overfed and undernourished. So we're drinking a lot of sugary drinks, and that increases our risk of colorectal cancer. And also, I have a whole new protocol for our anti-aging participants. Interesting, because I was on Zoom calls every single day with scientists from around the world who are following this and are very excited by it because they're doing great work in petri dishes using stem cells. But none of them, not one of them, has done an actual study with human beings. So they're all looking at what I'm doing with this clinical study. Clinical study is not easy. It's not inexpensive. It could run me $500,000 to do a thorough clinical study. And I've done three in the last year and a half, by the way. And each one builds upon the previous one, showing that what we did works, and now it's working even better. So it's working. But I keep adding to it because there's more and more information. I've got some really cool stuff I'm adding. And once I get this done, and once I publish it in peer-reviewed literature, then I'll share it with the public. But I'll just give you one idea of what you could do at home if you can find the means. If not, we should start lobbying our insurers and the federal government to include this on preventative health maintenance. It is also very therapeutic if you have a smart enough doctor who's familiar with the total literature. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Now, we know what it does for strokes. The quicker you can get into a hyperbaric chamber after a stroke, the less damage to your brain, the greater the recovery, the less side effects. In fact, one of the audience members, I'm assuming he's listening today, he lived by contradictions. In fact, I mentioned this to him once. He attended all my classes. Really nice guy. But he always seemed to be overweight. And I would watch through the lecture, and I'd see him nodding off. And I'm wondering, is that hypoglycemic? Why is he doing that? And so one day after a lecture, I stayed to answer questions from the students. And it took about a half hour, so then I left, and I'm walking up the street, and right on the street, and this was at the School of Visual Arts where I taught, I led all their nutrition courses. And right there on the corner is one of those mystery meat, you know, places, and he's got this one hand filled with some kind of confection that he bought there, and another with this mystery meat on this big white bun, and he's wolfing it down. And I walk up and I said, what part of my class was this in? And he looks and he goes, I'm sorry. I said, don't be sorry to me. I'm not the one who could, you know, get sick from this. But what is the purpose of coming to a class, all my classes, all the time for years, and not changing? And he says, you know, you're right. He said, I'm such a hypocrite because I lecture everybody on right eating, right living, and I do just the opposite, and that's why I'm overweight. So he threw it in the garbage can. He says, I'm giving myself this pledge that I'm going to be healthy. And then I said, okay, good for you. And I said, but don't do it out of guilt. If you do it out of guilt, you revert back. First time an urge hits you. I said, do it out of a commitment to your higher self, that you're going to honor the lungs, honor the heart, honor the brain by what you put into it. And that way you're showing your cells that they're, every second of your life, tens of trillions of cells are working on your behalf in perfect harmony, which then led to an impromptu discussion about harmonic energies, Roel Reif, and others, and even Tesla, by the way. And so we had this impromptu discussion about what it means. And I said, can you show me six people that are in perfect harmony every moment of every second of their life? And the answer is no. I said, but they're your cells. What does that tell you about the ultimate meaning of life and a higher power to life, the energy, the chi? What is gone when you're dead? Your heart, your lungs, your brain, your biochemistry, your enzymes, your antibodies, everything is in perfect place. The only thing that is missing when you're dead is your life energy. What do they never teach in medical school? Life energy. So wouldn't you think that would be important? Why hasn't that door been opened? Because then it takes you to a different dimension of cause and effect, that we are more than a mechanistic, reductionistic set of molecules that function like machines. And when one breaks down, well, it's mechanical. When we all know through thousands of examples in our life that we're far more complex and there's something else working inside the cell. You can call it intuition, you can call it spirit, whatever you wish to call it. It's what keeps us alive and enhances our life and allows us to make better judgments than what we're conditioned to make. So when he says, good, he said, I've done a lot of damage to myself then. I said, why? He said, and then he started to tell me everything he ate and drank, and it was just everything in the world you would never want to put in your body. That's all he did. And yet he'd been coming for 5 years to all my classes. So the last thing he said was, so what if I should have a heart attack or a stroke or something? So I just said, make sure that you have a note there to give hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I just walked on, right? A year later, I see him, totally different. He'd lost all that weight. He had a great complexion. His whole demeanor was different. And he came up to me and he said, I want to show you something. Opened up and he had this little crumpled up piece of paper. He said, I had a stroke. And when I got to the hospital, I gave this to the doctor and I said, call Gary Noll and he'll validate this. And so I remember I got a call and I said, yes, the scientific literature does support what this will do. And they gave him hyperbaric, saved his life. He was able not to have paralysis, not to have the slurring, sloped jaw, mouth, etc. So when I tell you hyperbaric oxygen is one of the best things you can do, it is. That's just a little long story on that. But from Tel Aviv University, this is right now, today, in a scientifically verified approach, signaling an important breakthrough in the study of aging, the Tel Aviv University, they've got some really smart people doing great cutting-edge work there, and the Segal Center for Hyperbaric Medicine and Research at Shamir Medical Center announced that for the first time in humans, two key biological hallmarks of aging, telomere length and shortening and accumulation of senescent cells, can be reversed. And I've told you all that. We've been doing it with my protocols, but they're doing it now and they're catching up with hyperbaric. Remember I said, and I've been talking about what you have to do to cleanse the debris of senescent cells that have died out of the body so they don't congest and break down systems, and also to keep those telomeres lengthened instead of shortened. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal, Aging. I had an article published in there. Utilizing hyperbaric oxygen therapy protocols to demonstrate cellular level improvement in healthy aging adults. In fact, I won't go into any more on hyperbaric today, but there's an awful lot I could say about it. But I just believe that there's so much that we could be doing to help people with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, dementia, and Alzheimer's, because all of these are the biological deterioration of aging. And this is what we bring upon ourselves. So we could stop this and we could reverse it, because we could lengthen our telomeres and reduce our senescence. So that's that. I'm looking at the clock and we're out of time for health and nutrition. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to play you a segment from a person who has something to say about COVID. And this is an Orthodox person in the media. And then we're going to offer a response. Please listen.
So look at this. Pfizer executives have discussed hiking the vaccine price after the pandemic wanes. They basically were caught saying that the pandemic is not going to end. It's going to turn endemic. And when it turns endemic, they're going to make a boatload of money off that vaccine that they made. That is what they were caught saying here. Let me just read you the story, and then we're going to go into the implications of this, because one big question I think many of us should have is, then what the hell is the vaccine? I mean, did you create it with the intention to end COVID, or did you create it with the intention to stall so that you could continue to make more and have it not really cure anything, but just kind of subside some things? And then, what is this? What are we doing here? So it says a top executive for Pfizer suggested to investors last week that pricing for its COVID-19 vaccine could increase post-pandemic. So not only are they excited that COVID is going to continue on and on and on forever. That's what endemic is, forever. It'll be here forever. But they're saying they're going to actually hike up the price of the vaccine. The suggestion raises questions about whether a drug developed at the behest of the federal government to respond to a global crisis could turn a profit for one company. The possibility was raised by Carter Lewis Gold, a senior analyst for biopharma equity research at Barclays, during a virtual global healthcare conference hosted by the bank. Gold, referencing comments made by Pfizer executives over the summer, asked how the pharmaceutical company still envisioned pursuing higher pricing as we move from a pandemic to an endemic phase, according to an edited transcript of the conversation. Says, quote, clearly got a lot of focus on the street, and in particular, some of your comments around the potential for higher pricing, Gold said of Pfizer's summer suggestion. I think one of the things that people point to is both the optics of that as well as some of their experience with the flu market. Now, this is absolutely different, but I was hoping you could maybe give us a little bit more depth on your thoughts here and around the potential to pursue higher pricing down the road. So what are you thinking about, pursuing higher prices down the road? Let's hear from you. So in response, Frank A. Diamolo, CFO and Executive VP of Global Supply for Pfizer, said the company anticipates a, quote, significant opportunity for its vaccine from, quote, a pricing perspective as we move, quote, from a pandemic situation to an endemic situation. He says, quote, so if you look at how current demand and current pricing is being driven, it's clearly not being driven by what I'll call normal market conditions, normal market forces. It's really being driven by kind of the pandemic state that we've been in and the needs of governments to really secure doses from the various vaccine suppliers, Diamolo explained. So what I believe, as we move from a pandemic state, from a pandemic situation to an endemic situation, normal market forces, normal market conditions will start to kick in. And factors like efficiency, booster ability, clinical utility will basically become very important. And we view that as, quite frankly, a significant opportunity for our vaccine from a demand perspective, from a pricing perspective, given the clinical profile of our vaccine, he said. So clearly more to come here. But we think as this shifts from pandemic to endemic, we think there's an opportunity here for us. So that is what the Pfizer executive said, and this raises a lot of questions. The first question is, did they ever really think they were going to be curing the disease? Or were they thinking that they were instead going to just continue? Maybe they could mitigate the disease a little bit, and then they could then, rather than cure it, you know, maybe they could have come up with a vaccine. Maybe, you know, and that would be the real scandal, right? If we found out that later on that all of these big pharma companies that we put so much trust into, we put so much trust into the big pharma companies. Big mistake, by the way. You know, especially all of these anti-establishment progressives for years going after big pharma, saying that they were just all on the take and that they had bought off our government and it was all just a big racket. And then suddenly the pandemic hits and all of them are like, oh, save us, big pharma. And now here we go. This is why you could never trust them, because then they come out and say, well, you know what? Yeah, okay, it's a pandemic right now. And so, you know, we're kind of at the behest of these governments. But once it turns into an endemic and it becomes like the flu, we can make money on this like the flu shot. And we can actually put a lot of money, raise up the prices, you know, hike up the cost, because it's not about saving lives. This isn't about ending COVID. This is about opportunity. And so what they're seeing right here, what they're admitting is we got an opportunity with this virus and we're going to go and milk it. And it kind of makes you wonder, you know, and we see this about many, many things. Why is there no cure for cancer, right? We're able to do so many amazing, innovative things, and yet we don't have a cure for cancer. We also don't have, interestingly, a cure for AIDS.
I saw no less than 8 people completely reverse AIDS.
These people, according to the records, had seroconverted, had no traces of AIDS or no traces of the HIV virus in their system.
We had lot of patients. We had good results, very good results. In fact, there were some patients that they were absolutely convert from positive to negative.
All the care that was given for free, pro bono.
They did ozone. They did vitamin C drips. We cleansed their system as much as possible. We did stress reduction.
They were completely in remission. And then we continued testing them, and they were completely cured.
They were all very sick with AIDS-related symptoms. Their health improved week after week until we finally seroconverted them. We saw all the viral loads come down. The T-cell counts returned to normal.
What do these medical records
prove?
Well,
one is a PCR test. PCR test indicates the viral low level, HIV viral low level. It's negative.
What does that mean?
That means that there is no HIV virus in my system. It's out. They can't detect it in the blood test.
They got on the protocols. They followed the protocols with all natural approaches. Not one chemical, not one drug. And I watched all of them completely reverse.
Did your wife decide to do the same thing? Did you tell her you were positive and then she went and took the same test?
Yeah, I found out first, and when I found out I was positive, I told my wife to get tested.
My husband went from having like no T cells to a very positive test.
This is a test from Roche Biomedical Laboratories, which is a division of Hoffman Roche. This is an official blood chemistry test. Their physician, using a holistic protocol, and this is a regular orthodox doctor, in a year, this person went from HIV positive active virus to P24 antigen test negative.
We had all this information available, and that the news media refused to publish this, where this therapy could have saved countless lives.
Mainstream scientific community, they were not agreeable with these natural approaches that we showed them.
And there we were with all of these lab results that showed that these people reversed AIDS. And here's the catch. No one in the medical profession was interested in seeing these results. They continue to pour billions of dollars into toxic orthodoxy approaches. And they're preventing other people from healing because of their own greed I think this is a crime against humanity.
Okay, that is just a segment of a premiere on Friday of The Cost of Denial. The Cost of Denial was produced by a group of independent investigative journalists from the Society for Independent Investigative Journalism, and it took years of research, and this is all the people in there are cured patients. Medical records, which they voluntarily shared with Tony Brown. That was Tony Brown. I was on there 6 times with patients I helped reverse their AIDS. 1,200 people that I personally saw, all using my protocols, and a whole medical team of 22 medical people, including a holistic dentist and chiropractors and acupuncturists and psychologists and board certified in all the different medical fields, took the protocols, applied them. I was there 7 days a week. And the patients, the journalists, that was Doug Henderson in there, but also Tony Brown, Bill McCreary, Earl Caldwell, all these other people saw the truth. There was a press conference. All the media shunned it. Not a single person from an AIDS organization, a scientific or medical organization, or the media attended it. Why? Because once you show that Bannister could break a 4-minute mile, then you let the whole world know it is possible. And that's exactly what happened. Once Hillary and Sherpa climbed Mount Everest, then all the other thousands of people were able to do it. If anybody had come from a major media or AIDS organization and said, my goodness, in the middle of Manhattan on the Upper West Side and over on the East Side at the Institute of Applied Biology, there's this guy named Gary Nall who's created protocols that not a single patient's dying, they're all getting well, and those on an advanced protocol completely seroconverted. They not only have no disease, they have no virus in their body. The other 1,200 who were not on the advanced protocol, they come once every 2 weeks and get their protocols, but these people came every day, 6 days a week for 16 months. That should have been headlines around the world. If it was a drug that did it, sponsored by a pharmaceutical company, oh, they won the Nobel Prize, it had been everywhere. That would have been it. But it wasn't. Who was responsible? Anthony Fauci. Same playbook then, same playbook now. So now you just heard. And if you want to go and see these people for yourself, see the documentation for yourself, then go to prn.fm, scroll down. The whole documentary is there for you free to see. It's called The Cost of Denial. That's that. Now, you also heard her say that there's no cure for cancer. And I asked people to call in. Let's go real quickly down the line here. Gail. Hi, Gail. Could you tell us quickly, were you cured of cancer using my protocol?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Gary. This is Gail Sodaro. 20 years ago, December 2000, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. I was not only in my breast, but it was also an inoperable tumor in my chest wall, all affiliated. I reached out to my friend, Luann Panisi, who turned me on to Dr. Gary Knoll's protocol for breast cancer. I have lived that life for the last almost 21 years. I am completely cured, I believe, of my cancer. I live a very healthy lifestyle, vegan eating constantly. I never look back and say that I made a mistake. It was the best thing. It saved my life. And I owe all of that to Dr. Gary Nall and to Luann Panisi.
Thank you, Gail. Isol, your turn, please.
Hello.
Hi.
My name... I am a cancer survivor. I have beaten breast cancer with Gary Nall's protocol. I have been cancer-free for 3 years now, living the healthier lifestyle, not leading the American diet, and I have gained 20 pounds since then, and I feel phenomenal.
Good. Thank you. Freddie.
Hi, Gary. As you know, I'm Freddie in California. I've been a cancer survivor. I had liver cancer. I have it no more. I used a combination of conventional and your protocol with the help of Luann and yours, of course. And I can say that a big part of my healing journey was because of the lifestyle changes aligned in the protocol and the whole lifestyle change.
Do you have cancer today?
No, I don't.
How many years has it been?
It's been a year and a little more than a year. I'm okay. Still monitoring, but I'm still adhering to the protocol.
Good for you.
As much as I can.
Thank you, Freddie. And for all the rest of you who are up on the line wanting to talk, I'm sorry, but we have no time today. But thank you all from all over for calling in. Our switchboard is being inundated with people. Instead, I want to go quickly to Joe Scarborough and what he has just called anyone who doesn't want to get the vaccine passport and get vaccinated. Here's what he had to say.
Selfishness is incredible. The stupidity is incredible. They've taken a country where we've had people throughout the generations, you know, fight for liberty and fight for freedom, freedom of speech, the freedom to go to the church you want to go to or the synagogue you wanted to or the mosque or not to go at all, right? The freedom of assembly, all of these freedoms, these idiots are now saying, I have the right to be stupid as hell. I have the right to believe stupid as hell people on Facebook. I have the right to believe in conspiracy theories and make you and your family and everybody around you, like, in danger, put you in danger. Okay, you do. You really do. So go ahead, like I said, go ahead, go live in your basement,
yeah,
all right?
But
it's not going to stop us. And if we didn't have the guy that we had in the White House over the past 4 years, that number you're seeing on the screen, according to people who worked for him and helped run his task force, that number on the screen would have been a lot
dramatically lower.
We would have saved more lives, most likely, than people who died in Vietnam. We would have saved more lives, most likely, than American soldiers who died in combat in World War I. We would have saved so many lives. But no, you had to be stupid. You had to believe the stupid guy. I don't know. You really, I can't help you. Nobody mm-hmm. can help you, right? If you still believe in God, maybe get on your knees and pray and ask why it is that your thought system, that your belief system has been so corrupted that you follow QAnon, yeah. that you follow conspiracy theories, that you believe liars on Facebook instead of believing the truth.
Well,
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... When did that...
Oh, so, okay, so Joe is lashing out at anyone who questions vaccines. Now, I prepared a report. I do not have time left in today's program to do it. It'll take at least a half hour. I'm going to do it tomorrow. But let's just take a look at some of what he says. This is from Dr. Merrill Nass, board-certified physician, a scientist. This was just in this morning. Judicial victory. Australian court rules PCR tests are unsuitable for diagnosing COVID. Quote, an Australian court came to the conclusion that the PCR test is not suitable for determining infectivity. In this specific case, it was about a lawsuit by the EFPO at the end of January. She was banned from a meeting in Vienna. The party brought an action against this before the Vienna administration court. That proved her right. The judges exercised massive criticism of the corona policy of the Austrian federal government. Quote, based on the knowledge, it is certain that the police will no longer be allowed to ban meetings critical of the government on the basis of these figures, end quotes, writes this. And then the court came to the conclusion that Vienna's health department, whose information was the basis for the police's banning on the gathering, quote, did not present any valid evidence-based statements and findings on the epidemic, end quote. The court stated literally, quote, if one proceeds from the definitions of the Minister of Health, case definition COVID-19 from December 23, 2020, then a, quote, confirmed case is any person with evidence of a SARS-specific nucleic acid, regardless of clinical manifestation. Two, every person with detection of SARS-specific antigen that meets the clinical criteria. And three, every person with detection of SARS-specific antigen who meets the epidemiological criteria. It therefore does not meet any of the three confirmed case definitions by the Ministry of Health, the World Health Organization requirements for the term sick person. The World Health Organization refuses to rely solely on the PCR test for confirmation. According to the report, the court also criticized the health policy data. The judges determined that the corona measures have so far been without any evidence as to their effectiveness. The court's decision found that all definitions for counting of corona infection do not correspond to the guidelines of World Health Organization, as Report 24 writes. Quote, the antigen tests, which are highly error-prone, especially as asymptomatic people, are therefore completely unsuitable. But so are those PCR tests required confirmation by medical examination. None of this is guaranteed in Austria, which the court has massively criticized, end quote. So good for them in Austria. I said Austria, I meant Austria. They did the right thing. Now, why is that important? Because, and this is specifically for Joe Scarborough, Joe, the test to determine if a person is positive itself is a non-gold standard test. Who says? The man who won the Nobel Prize for discovering it. Kerry Mullis, Dr. Kerry Mullis, won the Nobel Prize in chemistry. He said, and we've played his tape on this program, don't use this for diagnosis. Now, the court also said that if you have no symptoms and you test positive, how many repetitions did it take? Well, in the United States, this could be 40, 45. Even Anthony Fauci, one of the architects of this disaster, has stated that above 35 is junk. But what if almost all of the studies in the United States were above 45? They're all junk. All in the United States had two tests. If one came back positive. I don't know of anyone. Do you? Have you heard about this? People drive through, get their tests, get the results, and that's it. But then we go one step further. We say if you've tested positive on a fraudulent test, then you are a case. Ah, but this court did it right. They said, you're not a case. A case has to be independently confirmed with symptoms. You have to be sick. And if you're sick and it's independently confirmed, then you could follow the definition that you have COVID and then COVID an infection. Now, mind you, this virus is like the flu virus in the sense that it's easily transmittable. But every year in every school in America, you have someone, a teacher, a student, or a custodian, someone coming down with the flu. And you also have some people dying in those environments. Less so children, a few, but more so older adults. In fact, who is not recommended to get a flu shot? Older adults who've had the flu. Who's more susceptible to getting sick if they've had multiple year after year flu shots? Older people got those year after year flu shots. That's in the actual peer-reviewed literature. I've written about that. And what kind of science does it say that by getting a flu vaccine every year, you're protecting yourself? Well, you would have to have one group of people who are given the flu vaccine, who've never had the flu or colds, and another group that have them on a regular basis, and then measure them over that year. That's not done. In fact, with millions of flu vaccines given, they simply take the total population who have been vaccinated, and the deaths from flu, and then they subtract one from the other and come up with this is how many people are protected. There's no science in that whatsoever. That is garbage science. That's not good epidemiology. It's not good case analysis. You can't say that someone who got the vaccine didn't get the flu because of the vaccine, because are you measuring the difference in the people who live in Southern California or Southern Nevada or New Mexico or Texas or Florida? Or Mississippi, Louisiana, where they get good sunlight all year, therefore they have more vitamin D. Are you talking about those people who are intentionally healthy, who exercise and drink their fruit juices and have a good diet? All those mitigate your immune system. And yet many of those people, most of us, have been exposed to the flu virus. But we're all not getting sick because of the state of our immune system. Now, that's why their statements that take the flu vaccine and prevent the flu is completely fallacious, because they have no standard of measurement that would provide any legitimacy. If you want a legitimate study for a child, you take 5,000 children and give them a placebo. You take 5,000 children equally matched in age and state of health, and you give them all their childhood vaccines. You then, every 3 to 6 months, you examine each one for a standard set of markers on immune competency and conditions over a 3-year period. Then you can say with some legitimacy, this is how effective, efficacious it was. And you look at injuries and you say, this is how safe it is. If you give a placebo and kids don't come down with inner ear infections or autoimmune conditions or food sensitivities, but the other group does, then you can say that it has harmed their immune system and set their body on a record pace to have sicknesses their whole life. That's not done. And yet, study after study has shown, and we have the studies, that those individuals, children especially, who do not get all these vaccines are the healthiest children. And we have that from top pediatricians who so stated that. In any case, Andrew from Florida, sorry we didn't get to you. We didn't get to a lot of people who are calling in for cures for cancer, but who were cured, but on an upcoming program. So you see, there's so much, but also we're now finding more important signs. So if the test is not right, Joe, then the cases are assuming everyone is sick who tests positive. It's not the case. If you simply divided that and said how many are positive with a gold standard test, that's legitimate. And then how many of those people are simply positive but otherwise healthy, that's an important indicator that this is not as lethal as we've been led to believe. And then you see who are the people most likely to die. And then you find it's people over the age of 75 who have multiple 2.6 comorbidities, diabetes, emphysema, obesity, heart disease, and dementia. Those are the ones most likely to die. Did they die from COVID or did they die with COVID? That's a separate issue. And we found that a lot of people who died weren't being autopsied, but the primary cause of death was their underlying comorbidities, and they would have died of those conditions irrespective. And there were spikes. And also, a lot of people died because of the treatment they got in hospital, which was ineffective. All the while, you're not asking a more important question, Joe. Instead of saying we praise everything about the vaccine and all that it's doing is perfect, and anyone who questions it's an idiot, that's, you know, stupid. Well, there are a lot of scientists, tens of thousands of scientists, including Nobel Prize winners, including professors emeritus, who are saying there are parts of the COVID narrative that are wrong, including the lockdowns and the masks and the social distancing. In fact, I'll be reporting on the latest study on all these on tomorrow's program that shows that they put policies in place before there was scientific validity to what they were doing. That's fascism. That's the height of arrogance. Then you have to ask, well, what is the agenda? Also, I have a report tomorrow showing that all over South America and Central America, Mexico, countries began to use ivermectin at the very beginning. And there was one state in Mexico that had almost no COVID at all. It was the state that used ivermectin on all of its citizens. But the states that didn't allow ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or azithromycin or zinc, those are the ones that had the highest spike in deaths. So then when they started to use it on the whole state of Mexico, where everyone should use it, according to the Minister of Health, then they were condemned and criticized. This was also true in Mozambique. It was true around the world. Countries using ivermectin, which you could use on a 5-day basis, and with zinc and an antibiotic, doxycycline or azithromycin, those states had phenomenal results. I mean, phenomenal. And yet every single time someone would say, we got another good quality study here, they were all denounced by the media and a small group of scientists who are supported and supporting Big Pharma's approach of a single vaccine for everything. So would the world think differently if on every single major media it showed all the hundreds of studies combining hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and then also studies providing helping the society prevent disease in the first place? That would make sense. But when you say there's no treatment, wait for the vaccine, and therefore you have to wait until you're sick and then go into a hospital, and then you're given the wrong procedures, like intubation, that's killing people. So why wouldn't they want anything that would work? Because they don't control the patent, and therefore they don't have the income stream, and therefore they can't say this is important, and therefore we wouldn't need any vaccines. Ah, Joe, you're not a scientist. You're not a dietitian. You're not a nutritionist. You have no background in epidemiology or immunology. And yet you're acting as if you are a judge and jury. Do you realize the real state of arrogance and conceit in your statements, that you're condemning tens of millions of Americans? Can you at all, any of you, step out of your ideological clown suit for a second and look at the absurdity of what you can say from on high? We have over 67 articles we published on vaccines, over 12 on COVID. Happy to share them with you. Because we believe in freedoms. You seem to believe it, unless it's against the government, in which case then you're equating people with a QAnon. Do you believe that all the doctors who are supporting ivermectin and risking their careers, including the doctors, the most cited doctor on PubMed, who we had on this program, his testimony under oath this week, who is a flawless scientist and physician, he is both, and he has over 1,000 original articles on PubMed, over 400 major citations. Do you believe that he is a member of QAnon? Do you believe he is an idiot? Do you believe that he is a danger to society? Is he now a domestic terrorist? Did he drink some magic Kool-Aid? Why don't you have him on the show? Why don't you have any of the 60,000 medical doctors and physicians who signed the Great Barrington Proclamation? One is from Harvard, one is from Stanford, and one is from Oxford. Why don't you have these people on your program? And then call them stupid and purveyors of conspiracy theories. And by the way, does anyone who say that a conspiracy theory, a term created by the CIA, is wrong? Were we wrong about the Gulf of Tonkin, Joe? Were we wrong about the Mujahideen supporting the Muslim terrorists, the extremists, Islamic terrorists, I should say, in Afghanistan? Were we wrong about weapons of mass destruction? Were we wrong about regime change in 56 countries around the world? We were wrong about over 20 million Americans dying because of our regime change since World War II? No, we were right. These are factual. So are you saying that there is no such thing as conspiracy theory? That no conspiracies exist? And yet we have shown in detailed documentation using public records that the biggest promoters of vaccines have long criminal records. Did you take the time to look into the background of Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer? We did. And these are the people you want us to believe, but not believe in conspiracy theories that somehow these are bad people. They're doing vaccines and we should all do the vaccine. It's fine to do the vaccine. We never told anyone not to do vaccines. But we're asking people to do their due diligence. I wish you had done the same. My comments on that. So we've learned that there were cures for AIDS and cures for cancer. I created both of those protocols, and there are a lot of people walking around today who would have been 1,200 with full-blown AIDS, who all came with advanced AIDS conditions, and all remained completely healthy during the entire time the Tri-State Healing Center was operational for years. Just want to take a quick moment and say, share the articles on GaryNoll.com. Go to GaryNoll.com. We put new articles up today. And share the documentary on the cost of denial. Let people know the truth, because we're living by institutionalized, codified lies today. The people who have the truth on their side are vilified. It's time that we stop this madness. All right? Now, for those of you who care about your health, here's something, is called the detoxification cleanse box. The cleanse box, what's in it? Well, first we have a sample of our vitamin C chewable. We have a sample of green apple and lemon stuff. We have the award-winning documentary Detoxification Natural Approach, and we have Power Berry Blast. There's a big savings for you on this, and here's why Power Berry Blast is so important. Here are the ingredients: blueberries, raspberries, beets, black currants, cranberry, goji berries, acai berries, bilberries, grapeseed extract, aronia berries, cherries, elderberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, camu, noni, pineapple, guava, quercetin, all that in this delicious tasting product. It's a powder, and it's called Power Berry Blast. Now, so you're getting all this together to help you on your road to wellness, and you're getting a big discount. Call now, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or call Neil at our vitamin closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And finally, Luann just asked me to tell people we are full for the anti-aging new study coming up, and we're full for our health retreat. You can be on a waiting list, but, you know, and there's always some cancellations. But otherwise, we are full, and that's going to be a wonderful experience for people. And remember, we all need to detoxify on a regular basis. Most people never detoxify. So that's why this documentary that you're getting in here is 2 hours long, shows you step-by-step the natural non-toxic protocols to help you cleanse and detoxify. So it's a really good product. By the way, also green apple and fiber, with the apple fiber, the green apples, the apple juice, the lemon juice, and it's all there in this product. So we got a lot of stuff coming your way. And so right now we're full, and we may stay full, but if someone does cancel, you can give a call and get in there. And also from one of our listeners, tension, bus driver, vaccine side effects. This is from Jim, quote, "Dear Gary, I like to let you know about a bus driver that I work with. I'm also a bus driver. He's between 56 and 60 years old. He went for the vaccine after he finished his shift. That was last week on Monday. He walked about 50 meters to catch a bus home when he felt a sharp pain in his knee, left knee. As he got home, he noticed that it was swollen. The following day, which was a Tuesday, around 6 p.m. and sitting in the living room, he started to feel dizzy, and according to him, he doesn't remember how he ended up on the floor. At this time, his wife was in the bedroom. He woke up on the floor with his wife standing beside him. He called the National Health Services, and they informed him some people will get different reactions to the vaccine. To me, the long-term side effects are entirely unknown yet. I feel strongly this bus driver has experienced what I think is a slight neurological and autoimmune symptoms." And this is from Jim. Jim, I believe that based upon what figures we're seeing, that the total count of those who've been injured or died is grossly underreported in the United States. We wrote an article about this. It's up on my articles on GaryNall.com. Read it. You can't have that kind of discrepancy without something being amiss. And I don't believe it's just a calculation error or a clerical error. I believe that this is more nefarious. Because in Europe, I believe they have a more accurate, honest reporting system because they're not beholden to vaccine companies. But how can we, who've used more vaccines than anyone else in the world, and earlier, and Europe that has far less vaccines, how can they have far higher? I mean, we're talking about magnitude higher of vaccine injuries in the United States. It doesn't make sense. So we have not known the truth, and we will not know the full truth probably for a year and a half to 2 years. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.